everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The national championship.
LSU Tigers go to war.
Yep, that'll get you pumped. Also, tackle hotel ballroom dancing will get you pumped. Also, the absurdity of the Kansas City Chiefs win and how the Ravens lost. But first, we have a surprise special guest with us. Paulie Campione, Mr. Campione,
Anthony,
of the Sports Talk Hall of Fame is with us. Yes, yes.
Yes, I'm here to induct a special somebody into the Sports Talk Hall of Fame. And for all that he's done, for all that he will do.
The
we got Woody Page that I like to... with Woody.
Oh, this is awkward.
I knew it was Jackie. She's already in the hall.
Frankie, did you say this is it? Frank said this is it, like he was Jenny. This is it. I've waited for this.
I was hoping for you, Frankie.
You've never seen a game like Chiefs 51, Texans 31, so we're starting there. Berserker absurdity in this one. Records set all over the place. How this happened, though, comes down to many, many things, as might be the case when a team scores 41 straight. But to focus on two here, Texans fourth and inches at the 13, at 21-0, they go for it, but then they don't go for it. Timeout, Bill O'Brien thinks it over, and it's a field goal, and then this fake punt. Stuffed by Sorensen, who was a heat-seeking missile all game. National panel, I'm going to ask you how this happened. George, I'm going to start with you. How did KC do this? How did Houston blow this?
Tony, there's two answers here. There's a micro and a macro. Let's start with the micro. The micro is Bill O'Brien got in his own head. As you saw there in that field goal attempt, he should have challenged the spot. I thought that was actually a first down, or at least worth challenging in that particular instance. And then he decided, okay, forget it. We couldn't get the playoff. He kicks the field goal. And then on the flip side, because he felt like maybe he needed touchdowns to win, he got in his own head and went with that fake punt. And there's a difference to me, Tony. I like aggressive, but there's a difference between aggressive and reckless. And that's what happened with Bill O'Brien. The big picture, the macro, look, man. The Texans were a -7 point differential all season long. The Kansas City Chiefs were a +143. They were the better team. It was only a matter of time. They left way too much time for them to make that comeback. One of the best offenses we've ever
seen. Kevin Blackstone, how did you see it?
Well, part of this was a huge choke, of course, by that team that you were talking about, George. They got outscored 51-7 at the end of the day. The Chiefs were that much better, and we knew that going into the game. But this was very, very sloppy football. It was very, very lucky for the Chiefs that they were playing who they were playing, because those guys were not able to capitalize on anything. And you could see it just started to fall apart, and especially in the second half, Hopkins was out there hobbled. Watson just really couldn't do anything. The defense of the Kansas City Chiefs that we had talked about earlier in the year being a very good defense, and it kind of taking the middle of the season off, was back to being a very good defense. And that's really
especially when you take out that special teams touchdown and then the 6-yard drive that Houston had. Frank Isola, are you going to get on Bill O'Brien here?
You know what? I don't have a problem with them kicking the field goal there. That puts you up 24-0, but I do agree with George. Faking the punt there made no sense. And then the play where they fumbled the kickoff, you know, we've seen the Patriots do it. Tennessee did it on Saturday night. Give yourself up there. What are you trying to gain by running into, you know, the tacklers coming? The only bad thing that can happen is you fumbling the ball. That's what happened. But Houston's defense was awful. How many times did we see J.J. Watt huffing and puffing. To me, that symbolized the entire game. Patrick Mahomes is too good. Those receivers are too fast. And Kelsey's all over the field. That offense was going to score. They were going to lose that game.
And Jackie Mack.
Well, you can say that, Frank, but when you're up 24 to nothing, you should think you can win the game. And that was the problem. They didn't believe they could win the game. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone for that fake punt. I think that was part of the thinking. But in all my years of watching football playoff games, I can never remember a team that looked so discouraged the way the Houston Texans did. It was unfathomable to me. Like, where were your veterans? Where was your coach? Remember now, the Kansas City Chiefs in the same game were down 24 to nothing. Did they look like that? No, they didn't. So to me, this was a classic case of a game where one team, when adversity struck, hung in there, did what they needed to do to come back into the game, and when adversity struck for the other team, they've collapsed.
Where was their coach, Jackie, was the question you asked. And Kevin, you brought up Bill O'Brien before we sat down, his body language, even at the podium after the game. You've been vocal about Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy being passed over for a job again. Can anybody see a world where the Texans would make a coaching change? KB, you could start us off there.
Well, you know, Bill O'Brien's been there for a while, and this is another time that this team seems to have let them down in a particular game. The only problem is that this is the fourth time they've won the AFC South, I believe. You know, they got a winning record down there. The one year that things kind of really fell apart was the year that Deshaun Watson was hurt. And then you look around the list right now of coaches who are out there and you say, who am I going to bring in right now to turn this team around? So you give him another year, but I would say he's on a short leash.
They scored 31 points on the road and got blown out. That's actually hard to do. To me, it's more of a defensive issue that they have. But once again, let's be fair. Kansas City offensively is one of the greatest offensive teams we're ever going to see in the sport.
What the Chiefs did and what they could do, the Baltimore Ravens could not do. Let's talk about that. The other stunner of the weekend. How the Titans pitched a perfect game in this one. Derrick Henry is a locomotive. The defense on those two fourth down plays. Everybody talks about Baltimore's decision making. The defense on those fourth down plays. And Lamar Jackson. Whether it was a bad good game or an amazing bad game, it's another home playoff loss. And to that reality, quote, this team's identity right now is to get into the playoffs and choke. Marlon Humphrey, Baltimore Raven. And you know he's on the Ravens. He's tracing the receiver right there on that touchdown. Frank Isola, did the Ravens choke? Are they chokers? What was the number one reason why the Titans pulled this one off?
They didn't choke. They just got beaten up by a more physical team. Offensive line, defensive line, and the MVP of the playoffs thus far is Derrick Henry. That's why Tennessee won. But how about Baltimore? 8 for 8 during the regular season on fourth downs. Those two by Lamar Jackson when it was still a game, with him running the ball, all we ever hear about is what a great weapon he is. He can't get 1 yard on those fourth downs. I thought those plays symbolized the night for the Baltimore
Ravens. Jackie McMullen?
Yeah, I agree. This isn't so much about choking. In fact, I'm absolutely stunned, Tony, that Marlon Humphrey, who has great credentials, he's a Pro Bowler, said that in his locker room after game and then had a chance the next day to walk it back and still didn't. So I don't really know what all that is about. But this was about the Titans. They were bigger, tougher, stronger. They epitomized their coach, who's a no-nonsense guy, who's a bruising guy, who doesn't take excuses, who benched the so-called quarterback of the future for Ryan Tannehill and turned their season around by doing that. Listen, KB and I told you the other day, Tony, watch out for those scary.
You are absolutely right. I was about to get it. And I'm not even going to mute you for self-promotion right there because it was, I mean, you weren't on the show Friday to make your pick. Neither was Kevin Blackstone. There's your point. George Sedano, how did this happen? Do you think the Ravens are chokers?
No, I don't. I think one team imposed their will and the other one didn't. And here's the thing. December 22nd, Tony, that's the day Mark Ingram busted his calf. Yeah. And he didn't practice for 18 days. It wasn't until Thursday before the game that he was able to practice. And their offense is predicated on the success not only of Lamar Jackson, but of the running game with Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram was not necessarily a very good player this weekend, and neither was Lamar. Lamar deserves some criticism. I know that there are a lot of people out there that don't want to criticize Lamar. He made some bad throws, one throw in particular. Now, I will say this. I'm not ready to sit here and trash him because he was the MVP. He's a 23-year-old kid. We have to put this into context. Peyton Manning didn't win a playoff game until his fifth season.
So absolutely true. And Peyton Manning was drilled for that as well. Let me ask you, Kevin Blackstone, Lamar's bad, amazing game because he was the first player ever to go 300-100 in a playoff game, but those three turnovers in the L. And the most amazing thing, he's the 22nd straight league MVP, should he win, to not win the Super Bowl. How big of a setback is this for Lamar Jackson?
I don't think it's that big of a setback. I mean, but at least he can look at this game and see where he needs to clean it up at. I mean, remember, the first playoff game he was in a year ago, his quarterback rating at halftime was 0.0. So he has made improvement. And he was absolutely hamstrung by the fact that, you know, Ingram was not there to run the ball, so he did for 120 yards. Mark Andrews, his favorite target, was obviously hobbled. That very first pick, he couldn't get up for it. It was too high anyway. That turns into a disastrous result. But let me correct one thing. I did pick the Ravens in this game, but what I said was these Titans had an opportunity
because
they had a running game.
This is an incredible thing from Kevin Blackiston. I've given you points already for telling us about the Titans and how they could win, but now you remind us you picked the Ravens. Last word, Frank Isola.
Mad KB.
2 years in a row, two home playoff games for the Ravens. They've scored a total of 29 points. Yeah. To George's point, it's not a referendum on Lamar Jackson, but he's the star of the league. He did not play well enough. How about the sack when he fumbled the ball? He should be able to recognize that. That was a huge turnover. And once again, those two fourth down plays, he did not play well enough. If he's going to get all the praise during the regular season, he's got to take a big hit right here.
Aren't you amazed, though? League MVP, the last 22 years. That player and their team did not win the Super Bowl. Incredible.
The team sport.
We'll move on. Here we go. Let me hear the music. The national championship. We waited and we waited, and then they had a practice in the ballroom of their hotel. Unbelievable. How this turned into LSU -5.5, and the underdog that everybody's counted out, who's happened to won two of the last three championships, Clemson. It's Barrow Lawrence, it's Orgeron Swinney, Jackie. There are matchups all over the place here that are irresistible. Is there anyone that you think could tip the field in any direction?
Well, you know what? I'd be lying if I said there was one outrageously outstanding thing because I think these two teams are very, very evenly matched. You have two quarterbacks that I think are going to go on and have great NFL careers. You have running backs that are and great coaches. To me, it does come down, though, to Burrow. His numbers are... They're like game show numbers, 78% completion and the amount of touchdowns and the way LSU has won games after for years their legacy of never winning with quarterbacks but winning with the running game. It feels a little bit to me like
so for you, it comes down to Burrow versus Lawrence, and you give the slight edge to Burrow and then you give the slight edge to LSU. George, how about you?
I'm going to go with Isaiah Simmons. I think he's the best defensive player in the country. He's also the most versatile defensive player in the country. If you look at the way Clemson has used him, they've used him all over the field except for defensive tackle, Tony. This kid is as big an impact player as we'll see on the field tonight, I think.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Blackiston?
It's hard to ignore Burrow for me. I mean, 5,200 yards passing, 55 touchdowns, and the way he gets the ball out there to Ja'Marr Chase, who has 18 touchdowns on his own, and another 1,500 yards receiving that passing game for LSU is the difference.
And Isola?
And how easy we forget about Trevor Lawrence. In the moment of truth against Ohio State, he marched them right down the field. What's fascinating is the fact that LSU can complete one of the greatest seasons that we've seen in a long time. But a Clemson win tonight, think about what they've done over the last 5 years in college football. And Lawrence has been unbelievable. Do not bet against the Tigers tonight.
Okay. Even though everybody has.
Oh, aren't you funny?
Bet. Oh, yeah. I was waiting for Woody Page to be here. Woody Page was going to tell us that I got the undefeated Tigers. Which one, Woody? I got the ones that play in Death Valley. Which one, Woody? Make a pick right now. We'll go from George to Jackie. Give me the score and the winner. George?
Clemson, 35-27.
LSU, 35-34.
Clemson, 31-28.
LSU, 40-38.
Fire sale next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
We'll get back to the football playoffs in a second, but Major League Baseball's report and punishment for the Houston Astros is in. It's big. And so is Astros owner Jim Crane's response. Baseball detailing what they found. Sign stealing, banging scheme, hidden monitors. And when baseball ruled to suspend manager AJ Hinch and GM Jeff Luhnow 1 year, The team did not stop there. Owner Jim Crane firing Hinch and Luno today.
Wow.
George Sedano, how do you consider it all?
It's a dark day for the Houston Astros. And here's the thing, Tony. If I'm the 2017 Dodgers or Yankees, I'm pretty furious about this, having lost in seven games. Ultimately, though, I buy what Major League Baseball did. I do feel like they might have gotten off even a little light because there are no players involved in this report to this point. None of them will be suspended.
Kevin Blackstone?
Wow. Well, it's a great day for baseball. Clean up all these shenanigans going on with technology. We said beforehand that, you know, the old rules that exist and the old chit-chatter about cheating in baseball, that was for then. But this is an entirely different matter, and it needs to stop now. And I think MLB just sent out that
included in the punishment. Astros stripped the first and second round picks the next two drafts, but not included the championship. That's not touched. Frank Isola, where are you on this?
Think about where Houston was a few years ago. They were supposedly the cutting edge organization in baseball. Now look at them.
Jackie McMullen.
Yeah, but I think this is the defining moment of Rob Manfred's career as commissioner of MLB. He told these guys in no uncertain terms, in written form, all teams, the year before, that this would not be allowed, and look what happened to them. By the way, guys, duck, put on your hard hats, because Alex Cora and the Boston Red Sox could be next. And I have to comment, George, did you catch the Plaski flu over there? You now are going to use this as an apology for why your Dodgers didn't win the World Series.
Oh, you're talking about
please,
Bellinger? That was Bellinger.
They're not my Dodgers.
That was Bellinger saying we did it this way, you see? Well, I mean, who knows how any team has done it. Wow, baseball, dropping the hammer. We'll move on. Fire cell 2, Packers 28, Seahawks 23. This game-clinching first down by Jimmy Graham. What do you think about the spot? And also, a few minutes earlier, that Pete Carroll punt on fourth down. Russell Wilson never seeing the ball again. KB, what do you buy, what do you sell from this one?
Well, as far as Russell Wilson not getting the ball again, I thought that was the right call at the time. You know what? They had to get three first downs, and somehow they managed to get them. As far as that spot, that was a little spotty. But, man, the Packers, if Aaron Rodgers can be the old Aaron Rodgers, the great Aaron Rodgers, they got a real shot.
The spot is a judgment call. That's a tough one. You know, Russell Wilson getting sacked on that third down was big, because I felt in real time they should have gone for it, because you're punting the ball back saying, all right, we have to stop you. And then how about Aaron Rodgers on third down? He kept completing big passes, including the one to Devontae Adams. Huge play.
Yeah, that's to me what this game was really about. Frank Sonnet, 9 of 14 on third down. That was Aaron Rodgers in this game. Yeah. Marched his team right down the field the very first play of the game for a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers right now is the best quarterback left, and it's amazing that we would have to say that.
Over Patrick Mahomes, the way Patrick Mahomes is playing, Jackie?
Experience, and that
let's see what the rest of the panel
look.
Thinks.
I've seen
George,
it before.
What, are you
I've
with Jackie there?
Tony, I still think Patrick Mahomes is now the best quarterback in the NFL. I think Rodgers, maybe all time, maybe one of the best pure passers we've ever seen. But as far as the spot, Devontae Adams tweeted out a link. That line is not official, and the marker was actually behind the line. So it was much closer than people think. And the biggest play, Aaron Rodgers, to Jackie's point, 3rd and 8 to Devontae Adams. Just an amazing play with 2:19 to go.
Did you guys know the yellow line was not official? Thank you, Devontae Adams. We'll move on. 49ers 27, Vikings 10. The question to come out of it, maybe more of a statement. The San Francisco 49ers are the most complete team left in the playoffs. Frank, you buy or sell that?
Their defense is pretty good, and the quarterback that was supposed to replace Tom Brady is one win away from going to the Super Bowl. But that defense, and Richard Sherman is a big part of it. But how about Nick Bosa? You can make the case. He just might be the best defensive player in the NFL. They were all over Kirk Cousins. Incredible performance.
Remember before this game, we were saying, look out for Dalvin Cook. Did you see what Dalvin Cook did in this game, Tony?
Yeah. He didn't move the ball. He didn't move the ball at all against that defense.
Six sacks. Kirk Cousins, who was so important a week ago. It's all about San Francisco's
but
defense.
Are they? Answer the question. George Sedano, are they the most complete team in these playoffs?
Tony, they are. They're the most complete team in this season, if you think about it. When they hit their lull as far as losing a couple of games, they lost 8 key contributors on both sides of the ball. That, to me, shows now how healthy they are and how good they can be.
Absolutely. They're healthy on the defensive side, and on the offensive side, they can run the football just as well as just about anybody, as far as talking about everybody outside of Derrick Henry.
Kevin Black of Stone, Jackie McMullen. I think you're going to like your points per game average, but you're not in the shutout. Sedano and Isola rolling today. Look again, these surprise TV segments. To catch a Hall of Famer, if you will. They're so good. The Jimmy Johnson here. I mean, just the breath he takes, you can see it change. Bill Cowher. Look at the tears. So long as we are sure there is not a heart attack on live TV, this is my bag.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Sedano and Isola, check out Austin Matthews. He scored all types of goals this season. I think you know that. You've seen them all. I mean, some of the goals of the year. But my question here for Showdown 1, George, is his stick flip better?
Yeah, Tone, it's definitely better, and that's saying a lot for a kid who's got over 30 goals, 20 assists, and already a four-time All-Star at 22 years old.
It's all about the strong hands, and how about the no-look, too? My thing is, if it hits an opposing player, is that a high sticking penalty? I think it would have to be, using it as a weapon. Just saying.
All right. I mean, I'm trying to suppress a giggle from my solo. That's a good line, high sticking. We'll move on. Showdown 2, Roy Williams and Tom Izzo.
I tell Bubby he should probably fire me, and probably wouldn't be a bad idea.
I feel embarrassed for our fans. I feel embarrassed for our national TV audience. I feel embarrassed for our staff.
UNC is 2-7 in their last 9. Michigan State lost by 29 to Purdue. How do you hear fire me and worst beating from Hall of Fame coaches, Frank?
Roy Williams is a great coach, but I do find it funny where a coach has to call a press conference and say, all right, guys, get ready. For the first time, I'm responsible for the loss. It's really these players that are responsible for all the other losses.
Right. Tone, it's refreshing. He's got a five-star player and 4 four-star players in his starting lineup. He should be saying that.
Well, it's whiplash-inducing, George. Last week, he was telling us it was the least gifted team he's ever seen. This week, it's the sky's falling on him.
That's right.
Frank Isola, 30 seconds of FaceTime. Wire-to-wire win.
Congratulations to both Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher. My thing is, I already thought they were in the Hall of Fame, but someone who did not get in is Tom Flores, the old Oakland Raiders coach, now 82 years old. Think about this. First Hispanic to ever start at quarterback in the NFL. He and Mike Ditka, the only guys to win a Super Bowl ring as a player, an assistant coach, and as a head coach, and he won 2 as a head coach. I don't know. That sounds like a Hall of Famer to me.
Well, let's get Mr. David Baker on the phone and have him surprise. I mean, it's an amazing, again, I said, as long as we can ensure there's no heart attack, it is incredible television to see them surprise those guys. All right, we are on a 24-hour break. See you tomorrow.